looking at the prophet Isaiah in chapter number 30. And there the prophet, many years before Christ, many centuries before Christ, over 700 years, he told them this in verse 15. He said, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not." Now, what's the prophet Isaiah telling the people of God here in chapter 30 and in verse 15 in particular? But we're going to look at verses 15 through 21. You have to understand any scripture, you look at it historically, grammatically, contextually, and in the history of this scripture, they were terrorized by the Assyrian people, very cruel people, very powerful people who were eating up the known world of that day. And they would skin people and take their skins, kind of like Hitler did, and do terrible things with it. And God's people were threatened by this cruel and wicked invader. And they were scared. And you have fears, and I have fears, don't we? And God's people, they had this particular fear. And at this time, instead of God's people being confident and depending upon Him, they put their confidence in the unsaved king of Egypt and his army. And God told them this in verse 7 of this same chapter. He said, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still." God says through Isaiah in verse 7, when you are outnumbered, if we take this by application, when you are outgunned by your enemies, don't panic. Don't go to the unsaved world for your counsel, for your help. But sit still and wait for God to help you. You say, "Well, the preacher moves too slow. God moves too slow. I got to take matters in my own hands." Ah! Stupid. We are living in a 21st century pressure cooker. Many of you are under pressure in your marriages, in your families, in your jobs, in this country, and even in your ministries here in the church. But I think of what the great missionary J. Hudson Taylor, who founded the Inland China Mission, said. He said, "The pressures and problems can become a wedge to get between you and your God, or they can be an invisible hand that would press you to the breast of your God for His help and His blessing." So the prophet here counsels you not to panic at the pressure when he says these words, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." He's saying that God allows these pressures and these problems to move you to get back to the presence of God where you belong and where you'll get fresh confidence, which will give you peace and will give you power in the midst of the pressures and problems that we all face in this pressure cooker. And so when you put, for instance, Isaiah 30, 15, and 19 together, it says, putting them together, "In returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry, when he shall hear it. He will answer thee." So from these verses, I have chosen the title for you today of this message for you. First, I want to say the title is "Pray, Don't Panic." Pray, don't panic. And I have three things from verses 15 through 21 by way of exposition to share this morning. Number one, don't panic about anything. Now notice Isaiah said these words. He said in verse 15, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." But now notice the last phrase. What does it say? It says, "And ye would not." So that brings me to my first point. Don't panic about anything. Some of you are panicking. Some of you are not listening to that counsel. So the counsel is, ye would not take the counsel, basically, of not to panic. And you are not really returning to God. You're not really waiting upon Him. You're not finding your rest in Him. You're not finding your confidence in Him. And these people of the people of God in Judah, they decided to take matters into their own hands, and instead of staying with God and getting counsel and staying with it, they said, "We're going to have to take matters into our own hands. We're going to have to get on horses and ride out of here and go to Egypt. You know, they'll take care of us, these unsaved people." And because they panicked and would not listen when God told them to stay put and wait on God to solve their problems, they were getting themselves into more problems, and you will too. Some of you maybe have listened to counsel of God's man from this pulpit and in private counsel to do things God's way. But to be honest with you, worldly people are now leading you to panic instead of trusting in your God and staying with the good counsel that you've received. No doubt, I believe that's why the Lord is leading me to preach these things to you again today. Because perhaps you need to hear the counsel again, not to panic under pressure from your problems and the voices of worldly acquaintances that you have, friends that you have, and relatives. And so the Bible says in Philippians 4, 6 and 7 in the New Testament, says the same thing: be careful for nothing. So God's counsel is, don't worry, don't panic about anything. And if God says you're not to worry about anything, and guess what? You are worrying about something today, then you are doing what? Well, you're sinning. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. That's right. And the Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 8, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. When you worry, it leads into a whole host of other sins and evil doing. And think of Abram. Remember, he fretted about a time of famine in the land of promise. God had brought him there, but there was not enough food. It was famine. He fretted about it. He decided to help God out. He fled to Egypt with his family. Took him down to the worldly Egypt where they would be under the influences of the world. And he left walking by faith. Because he fretted about that, he fretted about his beautiful wife who was with him with all these worldly people. And it led him to lying and getting Sarah, his wife, to lie and say that she was merely his sister and not his wife at all. And then he put her in great danger with these people. See, don't let worry get into the driver's seat of your life. If it does, you will get into other sins, and that will lead you to more sin and more trouble, not only for yourself, but for those around you, and all because you're worried about yourself or somebody that you love, and you're going to get into more problems. And what a tangled web we weave, not only when first we practice to deceive, but when we worry like a worrywart, right? No doubt that is why we're talking about this and going over this. And so we have to realize God said in this chapter and in verse 16 that worry will lead you to run away from God's will because of problems and pressures. Let me say that again. Worry will lead you away from God and away from doing His will. And here's what he says in verse 16. But ye said no. You ever said no? But ye said no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, they say. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. In other words, God said, you can run, but you can't hide from me. I'm going to catch you, and you're foolish to worry because you're going to take matters into your own hands, and it's not going to work. I won't let it work. Now, the world's horses can be conveniently fast, but God takes no pleasure in the legs of a horse and in the speed of a horse, and especially when it's meant to gallop you away from God's will for your life. So God said, I'll deal with that. I'll deal with your escape routes. And don't worry about anything today, because if you do worry and you do panic, then you're going to run out on your commitments to God. And one thing that will cause you to worry and stop trusting the Lord are unsaved friends and family members. Can I say stop listening to them? Or carnal family members. They may profess to be saved, but they're not under the influence of the Word of God. Stop listening to these voices that are causing you to panic. I remember when I was in Bible college, I started hanging around with a godly friend and some godly men who were in the Word of God. And if I started to panic or I started to speak contrary to the Word of God, my friend would say, stop talking trash. The Bible said, and that's what I'm saying to you today, stop talking your trash. The Bible says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So if you're hanging around unsaved friends and family members and you're allowing their words to get into your head, then you're eventually going to quit waiting upon God. And by the way, another word for head, Brother Mike, in the back there is noggin. That's the head, the noggin. And if you're allowing the thoughts of these people to get in your noggin, your head, then you'll eventually quit waiting upon God, and you're going to do what Abraham did. You remember Abraham when he got counsel from a family member? He said, now God's not giving you what he promised you, Abraham. It's been years. It's been decades. God's not giving you. So you've got to take a Hagar. You've got to take Hagar as your concubine, and then you'll help God out. And you know how that worked out. It didn't work out well. The Jewish people are still paying for that. What you do when you worry and take matters into your own hands, you hurt yourself, you hurt your family, and you even hurt generations to come that will come through you. And your life plays out after you're gone. We're just here at time, but your life keeps playing out. I want to play my life out so that it blesses my children, blesses my grandchildren, blesses the great-grandchildren, and the spiritual children and grandchildren, greats. And so, to you single people, it's better to be single and lonely than to marry the wrong person. It's better to be single and lonely than to marry the wrong person. For the you single ones, just you single ones. If you're married, you're married, and God will help you. Panic is Satan's tool to decrease the Lord's army. Let me say this. Panic is Satan's tool to reduce our army. In fact, Isaiah 30:17 says, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee. God says that the enemy is going to use fear to get faithful people, Brother Matt, in church, leave and run away from God's work. And this reduces God's army because of panic, and Satan loves what is going on there when that happens. So how about the counsel of God, Philippians 1:28? Here's what God says. He says, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries." Notice that, in nothing. What is it that terrifies you? What is it that makes you panic? Well, that's the one thing that Satan's going to use. And he says, "In nothing terrified by your adversaries." So stop letting worldly people and the devil get you to panic about staying with God and his promises to you. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 says that you need to learn to stand in the evil day. And having done all to what? Stand. I've seen a lot of evil days. I've seen a lot of people panic. And I've seen them wreck their marriages, wreck their families, wreck their ministries, really mess up their lives. The world is going to try to get you away from God's will. You need to stand. So number one, pray, don't panic. Number one, first, don't panic about anything. Number two, patiently wait in God's presence for every good thing he has for you. Don't panic about anything, but number two, listen carefully, patiently wait in God's presence for every good thing he has for you. Now, the Bible says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, God has good things for you. Amen. He delights to give good gifts to his children. He's not out to wreck your life. He's not out to hurt your life. Satan does that. And when we listen to Satan and panic, we get that. So you need to patiently wait in the presence of God for every good thing that he has for you. Now the Bible says, "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Do you realize that you could be rich because God gives us richly all things to enjoy? And the blessing of the Lord is what makes you rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. So what gives him pleasure is when you wait upon him, now listen, and you stay put, and you do his will for your life, no matter what the problem or what the pressure that you're facing. Now, that problem and that pressure is geared by the world to get you not to stay put and not to wait upon the Lord. And the prophet Isaiah prophesies to you this morning, if you're here this morning to hear this, listen, he says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore he will be exalted. Therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." Do you know how to wait for God's good gifts? You see, he makes you wait. And he says he waits so that he can be gracious to you. Do you see that? God says the Lord will make you wait for his gracious blessings so that when he performs them for you, that God will get the praise. And he wants the praise. You know, I think of the 2016 election in America and the blessing to have a non-globalist president. What a blessing for our country. But boy, the devil fought against it. The enemy fought against it. And they got him removed by fraud, I believe, in the 2020 election. But my, oh my, what a pain, huh? What a pain since then. People are feeling the pain. Are you feeling the pain? I'm feeling the pain. Here's the thing. You have to wait for God to come through. Sometimes we need to feel the pain so that God will get the glory when he answers our prayer. And we won't credit it to some pundit or somebody or some politician or something. No, we'll know God did it. We'll know he alone gets the glory. And so God counsels you as saints here at SRBC that have been pressured to give up patiently waiting on God, to give you things that are the desires of your heart. He wants to give you things that are the desires of your heart when your heart is set on him. Here's what he says in Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. He says, listen very carefully. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Some of you have done the will of God in answer to counsel or preaching. But now you've had problems come in. And now you've had difficulties come in. And now you've had mountains come in. And now you've had obstacles come in. And you say, this is impossible. I'm not going to get the blessing that I was promised by following godly counsel. Well, you shouldn't do it for the blessing. You should do it to please God. But nevertheless, when you do that, if you're patient, the blessing will come. Hey, good to see you. The blessing will come. It will come to you because the Lord said, I'll wait to be gracious to you. I remember in 1987, we were in the, we had lost our building in Green Ridge, and we were in a building in Southside renting it. And then we were in a building in Westside renting it. And it was very difficult. You know, we had to have our services at the time convenient for the churches that we were renting from. And it was difficult. We were even in my house for a time. By the way, the church isn't a building. Thank God this building is paid for. It's our church building. But the church isn't a building. Amen. It's not a building. We lost this building. If it got bombed, we'd still be a church. And we still need to meet. And so we kept meeting and we kept functioning as a church, but it was a difficult time. And I remember we were praying, and I had a couple of guys that really helped me to pray and held my hands up. And this one guy got up, I don't know, 5 a.m. every morning. He was a deacon in the church, and he was such an encouragement, such a fireball for the Lord. And he prayed in 1987 with us that God would give us this building. We didn't know it would be this building. We just prayed for a building. And God gave us this building and all the equipment in it. And it was just such a blessing when we got it. Answer to prayer. But you know what? That particular man that prayed for this building and kind of really was the lead guy to help me pray for it, he wasn't here when we got the building. He hadn't waited upon the Lord. And he left. And he missed out on the blessing of having that building. Remember that, Brother Joe? Of course you do. And so don't throw away your great reward because of lack of patience and waiting. Don't throw away God's gracious blessing that he's waiting to give you. I'm saying this morning, pray, don't panic. First, don't panic about anything. Secondly, patiently wait in God's presence for every good thing that he has for you. Thirdly, pray about everything. And that's in Isaiah 30, 19 through 21. Here in verse 19, it says this, he, speaking of God, will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Boy, that I like. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer. I remember recently wrestling with God about something. And I was crying out to God for this. I was not feeling it. I was not feeling like God was looking at me. God was not hearing me. But I knew I was calling upon the Lord. And he answered me very shortly after that. And then I realized, I said, God, you were listening. You wanted to hear me. You wanted to answer me. But I just didn't feel it. It's not a matter of feeling. It's a matter of faith. And so you're to pray about everything. I was out with Brother Jesse yesterday, and we were out visiting. And I had a delicious lunch that my wife had helped me to get. And ate it. I told Jesse, go get something. And he came back with a hot wing hoagie from DJ's. And it was a mild hot wing hoagie from DJ's. And it was delicious. I didn't eat it, but I looked at it. It looked delicious, and I thought, that is really nice. I remember when Brian Hebert was in our school, he and I would get the five-alarm hot wing hoagies with the, what was that stuff, blue cheese on it, just to make it go down a little bit, slide down. Oh, that was good. Jesse said, that's a little bit too much. So he gets the hot wing hoagie, mild. And then we went out and had a good time. And we were coming back, and his wife called him. And when his wife called him, we were, I don't know, what was about 3 p.m. about that time? 3:30 p.m., 3:15, 3:45, somewhere in there. His wife called him. We were done. And he's like, are you hungry, honey? You want to eat? Oh, I had a hot wing hoagie. And I'm just overhearing his call. Sorry to share you. And then he said, well, you want tuna? I'll get you tuna. I'll go get you tuna. Where do you want to get? I said, well, Subway's got a nice tuna. Did you get it from Subway? Yeah, he did. And so he said, they got a good one at Subway, and he's interacting with her, and he's going to get her that tuna at Subway because that's what he wanted. Well, now, think about this. It says in verse 19 of chapter 30, he, speaking of God, will be what? Very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry when he shall hear it. He will answer thee. Now, aren't we the bride of Christ?
Right.
What? Aren't we the bride of Christ?
Right.
Now, Jesse was taking delight in his bride. Amen. And I could see that. It was just dripping from him. And he wanted to do nice things for her. I'm glad my wife and I, we just had our 50th honeymoon, you know. Amen and amen. And I wanted to do things for her. We had a great time. And we're still feeling the good effects of all of that, you know. I just focused on her. But, you know, God does that for you when you go back to God and you get back to your first love and you take that time, that honeymoon time. By the way, there's a time when a couple just needs to come apart from the children, the grandchildren, which we had a wonderful time, all of that, and spend time together. You know, sometimes women, especially women, they get so caught up on their children and grandchildren that they don't have time for their spouse or their marriage, and they've just kind of given up on that. Don't give up on that. That's where it all came from. And that's where it all emanates from. That's the best blessing of it. And so I'm just saying that you're robbing yourself of the good things that God has for you. When you don't pray about these things, he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Call upon me. I will answer thee, Jeremiah 33:3. And I'm just saying to you this morning, if you are a child of God, the Lord is very gracious and ready to help you. He doesn't say here, you know, I would not. He says, you would not.
Right.
You would not. And it's like I've shared so many times, you know, a guy named Fred and Gladys were married, and Gladys was sitting in a car, and she said, Fred, remember when we used to sit so close together, and we had the honeymoon, Fred. It's not like it used to be. Fred looked over and said, Gladys, I haven't moved. I'm just here driving. Not only wait upon God for his promised blessings, but he gives you some more teaching here. And I'd like you to look at verses 20 and 21. First of all, verse 20 of chapter 30. It says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Now I believe Isaiah is skipping forward thousands of years to the future of Israel. And he is saying to Israel, you know, you're going to be my people and you're going to have teachers. I want to ask you a question. Do your eyes see your teachers? He said, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. Do your eyes see your teachers? Who are your teachers? Who are your teachers? I'll tell you who your teachers should be. Those that are clicking around the man of God in the local church to fulfill the Great Commission. Those are your teachers. Say, well, who are my teachers? Well, those that aren't in with Psalm 119, verse 165. You know this one, Brother Joe. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Right. Nothing shall stumble them away from the truth of the word of God that's taught. They'll stay with it, even if it's a hard truth. Even if it's a hard thing that's said. They will not be stumbled away, and they should be thy teachers. You know, there are a lot of people that claim, you know, they're a teacher, but they have not been clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission, and they've often been offended at the word of God, and then they want to teach others. Not good that you put yourself under that kind of teaching. Because the Bible says, and thine, this is the second thing, not only thy teachers, but it says, and thine ears shall hear a voice behind thee saying, this is verse 21, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. So now, you not only have teaching, but what? Personal guidance, or wisdom. You know, when we talk about wisdom, we talk about the fact, Sarge, there are many knowledgeable fools, you know. They know the truth, but they don't apply it to their everyday life for guidance and for counsel. And so you need to not only see here when you pray to God that he will give you knowledge and teaching, but he'll give you wisdom and guidance in your life for the decisions of your life. And he is so ready to do that for you. And so that's the kind of God that we have. I work with my bus captains. We have bus captains here, and over the years I've worked with the bus captains, and I've tried to impart some knowledge I've gotten from books I've read on bus captains, on personal experience I've had in starting our two bus routes that we had. I started both of them, and from many great men of God that I've heard over the years, over the decades, and try to give them counsel. And sometimes a young bus captain, you know, they're not ready to hear that counsel. But you see, somebody has put it this way: when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. When you're ready to learn, God will give you that counsel. But if you're not ready to put it into practice, then you're not going to have that guidance. And in fact, that is exactly what it's saying here. Notice what it's saying in verse number 21 of Isaiah 30. He is saying in verse number 21, here I'll read it again. He says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. In other words, they're moving in God's will, they're doing God's work, and God says, okay, you're moving, now I'll help you take it to the next level. Now I'll guide you in a further way, because you're already doing the will of God. Now I'll give you more. If any man, Jesus said, is willing to do his will, he shall know the doctrine or the teaching that's of God. If you're willing to do what God wants, And you're moving forward. He'll give you more guidance and wisdom. But if you're not willing, then you're going to miss out. And so today God says, I don't want you to miss out. I want you to get that. And so here it is all summed up. God wants you to pray, not to panic. He doesn't want you panicking over anything in your life, and you don't need to if you're a child of God. Secondly, he wants you to patiently wait, no matter how long it is, in his presence for every good thing that he has for you, and that's what he does. He makes you wait. And thirdly, pray about everything. Don't let anything push you away from your prayer time. Don't let anything push you away from being up tight and close with the Lord, because that's where your confidence is. That's where your strength is, and you will be truly blessed this morning. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed.